Make Your Children Listen, A Mother's Adventure. Talk so that your children will listen, a dialogue with no emergency exit. Stressed and worried, I've been sleeping poorly lately. I'm struggling to get my energies back, especially at night. I just would like to be left alone. But I have children who are also stressed and preoccupied. And their magic wand? Well, Mom, we have to get out. We're late. My brain is lost on these circular thoughts. Stop it! Are you getting dressed? Go brush your teeth. But what makes you think that you can jump on the bed? Stop it, I said. 1, 2, 3, you stop it now. I look at my watch. We are late one more time. Can you believe it? I've been waking you up earlier every day, and we're late anyways. I feel all my helplessness and my frustration mount. Except, of course, that it doesn't make my kids move any faster. When we finally get to the elevator, I take a deep breath. I look at my half-asleep children, their eyes full of a mix of sadness and fatigue. My motherly tenderness replaces the panic of infinite delay, and I feel guilt rise. Why do I end up screaming like that? I know it doesn't work, and yet I have tried everything. How can you make your children listen? What's wrong with the way we communicate? Change yourself before changing others. There is only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self. Very simple. When I realized that I was expecting my children to change, when I was the one having the problem in the first place, I had the first hint. Because it seems simple, but it revolutionizes everything. Instead of moaning because things do not go as we wish, we become responsible for them. I can intervene and find a solution instead of waiting for external conditions to come true. Like, for instance, my children growing up, becoming more self-sufficient, my partner dealing with the situation, etc. I can't change my kids. On the other hand, I can't stand talking to the walls anymore. Does it ever happen to you, this feeling that no one is paying attention to what you have to say? And while I wonder about my children's faults and their possible causes, one thing strikes me. If someone had invaded my beginning of the day by throwing at me all the things that I just say to my kids, I wouldn't really want to cooperate or respond nicely. I have to start from my inner self again. Becoming a parent primarily means working on ourselves, doesn't it? To make your children listen, check your expectations. Asking a 3-year-old child not to move or to laugh aloud is quite contrary to his nature. I read a very interesting article about it, written by blogger and parenting expert Lauren Tam, who suggested that one of the reasons why our children don't listen to us is because we don't make them move enough and play outside. She explains that according to Angela Hanscom, who is a pediatric author and occupational therapist, a 3-year-old child would need free movement and outdoor play for 5 to 8 hours a day. And the physical challenges that children encounter when playing and taking risks help them master their bodies, developing their vestibular senses and proprioception. So what is that? So the vestibular system regulates the sensations given by our body while it moves. And the proprioception refers to the perception of the position of our different parts of the body. Our children learn to concentrate, listen to us, and remain quiet only once they develop both their vestibular senses and proprioception. And the two are usually formed before the 6th birthday through physical experiences. Well, 8 hours of outdoor play is quite unrealistic. However, it is true that if we replace them by hours of sitting, be it in class or in front of a screen, then the need for activity will emerge afterwards when we ask them to sit at a dinner table or avoid transforming our bathroom into a swimming pool. Which, by the way, I solved by letting my kids wipe. They always take the bathroom for a pool, but at least it's not up to me to do the job. So I try to put myself in my children's shoes with all my empathy and understanding. I wake them up smoothly, but 3 minutes later, I start asking them to do fast. Now, do fast makes no sense to them, since they haven't figured out what a minute or an hour involve yet. And it is much more interesting to dance and sing between a pair of trousers and a sock instead of dressing mechanically as I try to teach them. All right, but then, shall we forget the rules? When make your children listen rhymes with give orders. If most of our conversations with our children are made up of orders, talking to us doesn't really sound exciting, does it? At home, there is this moment of magical tranquility when we have breakfast and we tell each other about our dreams. And the three of us sitting at the table, the head still leaning on the arm between a spoon of milk and the next, we are actually together. I see myself, however, while starting to, come on, look at the clock, finish your breakfast, go get dressed. And the link breaks, and I feel it now that I observe myself from the outside. The ears are no longer listening. First change, talk with each other instead of talking to each other. Observing, listening, being together. Have a conversation instead of a command machine gun. I move to my room to get dressed, and when I come back, my daughter is under the duvet. What are you doing here? Don't stay in bed! Second change, not only do I give orders, but I put them into the negative form. Don't do this, don't do that. Enough to organize any subordination, which is indeed the case. And what if I turn my sentences to positive? When make your children listen rhymes with criticize. I'm going to the bathroom. My daughter whines and follows me. How is it possible that you're incapable of getting dressed by yourself? We're switching to heavy criticism here. I see my words entering through one ear and coming out of the other, with the only effect of breaking a little my daughter's self-esteem, but not having convinced her one bit to get ready quickly and independently. You never do what I ask! You, and no answer from the other side, of course. Third change. I bite my tongue. Yes, you really have to shut up. Breathe, take some time, and then, ta-da, reversal of trend. You should talk about yourself. And we'll go back to that in a second. When make your children listen rhymes with yelling. Well, I'm at the end of it. We have to get out! You want to go out in your pajamas? And then it comes up. And I'm not the only one to prep, reassure me, please. I am yelling. Because I want to leave on time, because I'm tired, because as soon as I get away, the kids start playing or singing, and they forget what they were doing, and then I have to run. Except that yelling, in the best hypothesis, makes my son cry, and in the worst, has no effect. Just to break the mood while my kids were just doing their job, which is playing, of course. Fourth change. Sleep a little more. Oh, yes. Delegate whenever it's possible. And keep your loud voice for emergencies only. Apologize when we can help it. It will still happen, we're human. When talking so that children will listen implies that you change. Lost in the analysis of our own points of view, we quickly forget to consider that a conversation is not the fruit of just one person, and that talking so that your children will listen, or any other person for that matter, implies establishing an empathetic connection. And this is particularly true with children who have a still immature neocortex, which is the part of our brain managing rational decision, but do have a much pervasive limbic system where emotions and memories are handled. So if a friend replied to your confession of grief with a reproach like, but what is wrong with you? Haven't you figured it out yet? You're being ridiculous. Probably she wouldn't be your friend anymore. Often we ask our children to listen to us when we do not listen to them, and we don't make too much effort to communicate in a way that makes us be heard. Let me explain. We have seen that the child, before he is 5-6 years, does not see reality at all, as we do. In addition to this, his understanding of his own emotions and their expression is still limited. And let's be honest, sometimes it's difficult for us too. So they express a lot with their bodies. Every gesture is a message, more or less hidden, that we need to understand and, if possible, explain to him. I know that it's very hard to think about encrypting a message when your child kicks you as you try to get him dressed, or when he throws himself on the ground screaming in the middle of the sidewalk. But listening means understanding the hidden need of our child, who generated this explosion of emotions expressed through his behavior in a rather contrary way as to what we'd asked. It also means understanding our own need and learning to express it to the child, instead of only sending him accusations or criticism. So I listened. I put myself in the shoes of my little ones, who have no desire to hurry and leave, who just want to snuggle up against me and take the time, and who have to deal with a mom who puts pressure on them while it's still dark outside. Not funny, is it? I admit, despite my efforts, it took me months to really get back and see the other side of the situation. But any profound change takes time, and it will be very effective on the long run. So, how to talk so that others will listen. Examples. Speaking for oneself, instead of accusing or giving orders, offers many advantages. When we accuse someone, the other person will tend to get defensive, instead of listening and executing our request. When we talk about ourselves, our needs, and the needs of the other person, we create empathetic connections. We care about our relationship, and this is true for children as for adults. And then when we give orders, we basically have no way of obliging the other person to obey. Yes, we can threaten and punish, and our child will end up perhaps by yielding out of fear or shame, which is not great neither for the self-esteem nor a healthy relationship with us or nor their brains. On the other hand, if we talk about us and what we are going to do, then we have the power to intervene. Because remember, we can't make the other person change at our will. One drawback to this is that it's more difficult to put into practice because we are not used to it. So we have to think about it instead of launching our autopilot. So my advice is practice with one situation at a time. Memorize some of the phrases below and work on one or two that work well for you and your situation before moving on to the next one. So some sentences that you can use. Instead of, would you stop moving? How do you want me to dress you up if you move like that? You can say something like, I see you're agitated. Maybe you'd like to play instead of being in a hurry like that. We can do it like this. I count to 10 and we see if in the meantime we can wear pants and t-shirt. And if we get there, maybe we can play one game of hide and seek. Is that okay? That's not possible. You're still in your pajamas. I asked you to get dressed 10 minutes ago. What are you doing here? You're 5-year-old. It's not possible that you're not even able to get dressed on your own. You can try with, you know, when I see you're ignoring my request to get ready and you're just hanging out in your bed, I feel a lot of frustration and anger. I would need to be on time in the morning. What can we do to get you dressed by yourself? Do you want me to take care of you because it bothers you that I help your little brother but not you? I do also want to spend time with you, but I'd rather play together once you're dressed, okay? Or another situation. You really don't eat anything. I prepared this for you. Do you know how many children have nothing to eat? It can be replaced by, you can eat anything that's on the table. You can choose. Take your time. I'm going to clean the table when the clock is. I'm eating now because I want to make sure I don't get hungry before the next meal. And I want to have all my strengths to be able to play. Instead of, get up and come and have breakfast. We're late. You can go to bed sooner next time. Sounds better like this. Do you want me to take you in my arms and bring you to the kitchen, or would you rather get up on your own at your own pace? I'm leaving breakfast on the table for another 10 minutes. So some practical instructions to make your children listen. Put yourself on your child's level. Look him in the eye, search for a contact. Don't yell from the other side of the apartment. Children have a limited peripheral vision. If they are playing, they forget everything else, but not out of bad will. Express your demand in a positive way. If need be, manifest your need, your emotion, and make your requests. Also verbalize the need of the child to show him clearly that you understand him, and it will also help him to clarify to himself his own sensations. Keep your calm if you can. Otherwise, apologize later. Try all the techniques of collaboration. Play a game, offer a choice, throw a challenge, whatever comes to your mind. Prepare your child before each new step. If he is playing, warn him 5 minutes before he will have to stop to move on. Use a timer if needed to give him a way to check the passage of time by himself. Involve him in the constitution of a routine. There are different ways of doing this with maps or drawings, and what I personally tested is take a piece of paper, sit down with the kids and ask them, what do you need to do to prepare yourself before you go to bed? I wrote what they told me, and my daughter made matching drawing next to each text. And then we chose a conspicuous place to hang it, and every night I asked to go check the list. For 5-year-old and up, it works very well. Which brings me back to, instead of giving orders, ask questions. What do you need to go to school? What do you think you need? So shall we do it again? I know, sweetie, getting up in the morning is very hard. I understand it. I had trouble getting up too. You'd like to play a little more with me instead of getting ready to go to bed. I see you're angry. But you see, I feel angry too when I see you're not getting ready, because I feel like I have to do everything myself and you're not helping me. So I think we could spend some nice time together if we collaborate. Yes, talking in a way so that children listen sometimes requires more preparation time. You have to think about resting, asking, stepping back. It requires you to think about your own needs, which is not obvious. But here it is. Talking for children to listen involves waving real bonds with yourself and with your entourage. You see, it's a good workout to improve your communication skills with adults too. Because when we change, everything changes.